Praise the Lord. Revelation, the book of the Revelation. So that's the last book of the Bible. And one of the great things about the last book of the Bible is when you go to the far back of it, you find out we win. That's right. We win. It's like a little boy was reading a book in his room, and his dad kept going by and hearing him say, "Boy, you're going to get it. Boy, you're going to get it." And he's reading this book. "Oh, you're going to get it." And he goes, "Son, what are you doing?" And he said, "Well, I was concerned that my hero was going to die, but I read the last chapter of the book, and boy, is he going to get it. And I'm better now anyhow." Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. We are in a series called Our Hope. And we have been studying where our hope really resides. On Easter, we talked about Colossians 1:27. And how that our hope is Christ in us. At the moment we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, He indwells us. The Holy Spirit comes inside, seals us, and our hope is Christ in us. And then the next week we saw how that our hope was in His return. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Our blessed hope. Jesus is coming again. He said He was coming again. In John chapter 14 and in Acts 1, the angel said He was coming. Paul said He was coming. John said He was coming. Then we saw how that the Apostle Paul, when standing in front of the chief captain there in Jerusalem, he said that the hope and the resurrection, he talked about the rapture and return of Christ. Of course, the word rapture is not in the Bible. The Greek word harpazo means the catching away, the coming and you being seized and irresistibly lifted and transported to your new home. Kind of like a Jewish wedding when the bridegroom comes. "For the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout." A shout. What shout? Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 10. "Come away with me, my love. Come away with me." With a shout and the voice of the archangel. Michael will shout, "The bridegroom cometh!" And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we, which are alive and remain, harpazo, seized upon, taken by force, transported to our new home. Then I talked to you about the mountain peaks of prophecy, how God gave us the book of the Revelation, and how that we weren't to fret or fear because what was coming, we are going to be removed from it and we're going to be seeing it from heaven. God knows how to deliver His children from wrath. We saw this with Noah. We saw this with Lot. We saw this with Rahab. God removed them, protected them, sheltered them. Harpazo is the word in Greek. I love it. And then last week I talked about when time runs out, or 2 weeks ago, it was when time runs out, how that the prophetic clock for Israel has stopped and paused at the ascension. There's still 7 years to come. But for the Gentiles, the alarm clock is ringing. That clock's running. And at the fullness of the Gentiles, the Lord Jesus Christ will return. Maybe today that'll happen. And the last soul will be saved. And the last name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And today will be that day. Last week we talked about the thief in the night. That he'll come. And what the day will be like. I had originally planned this message, the Antichrist and the Beast, on Mother's Day, but I was told that probably wasn't the best idea. I love you, Mom. I know she's watching on the internet. And if you would, please like us on the internet and social media and let folks know we're streaming live and our app will be coming online soon. But I didn't think that would be appropriate for Mother's Day. So in Revelation 13, there is a beast lurking in the shadows of history and time, ready to spring upon the earth at the appointed time. He's not an animal, but a man. But he has a heart of a beast. As we saw last week in the thief in the night message, he cannot come upon the scene until the Holy, till us is taken out of the way. That which restrains is taken out. It's exciting times you and I live in. Between the mountain peak of the blood-drenched slopes of Calvary and the Mount Zion, where Christ will be glorified and crowned King of Kings. But there is a beast lurking. Look at Revelation 13 and verse 1. "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." This beast is an arch criminal. He has many names, many aliases. In the Bible, he's referred to as the beast, Revelation 13. He's referred to as the man of sin in 2 Thessalonians 2. the epitome of evil. And in 2 Thessalonians 2, he's also the son of perdition, the one who is headed for ultimate judgment. See, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and removes us from this earth, do you understand that a man will come? Daniel 9 spoke of him. That will come, a world leader, a man that will be a peacemaker. He's also referred to as the little horn in Daniel 7 and Daniel 8, meaning he has authority and kingship. He's also referred to as Antichrist, or everything that is opposed and opposite of Christ. He may be a beast, but he is not hideous to look upon. He will be hideously and indescribably wicked, but he'll be handsome and brilliant. Now, understand that when John was writing this, a lot of it's written in symbology or symbolism, and he's using pictures to help us understand what he's seeing. And I got to tell you, a lot of this has become clearer in the last 100, 200 years than it was when John saw it. I want you to see in chapter 13 and verse 1, the sea which he sprang from. It says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea." In Revelation 17 and verse 5, the Bible teaches that sea is waters. He says, "The waters which thou sawest where the horse sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." That's Revelation 17 and verse 15. That the humanity, he will be a man. Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve sinned, God told Satan, he said, "Listen, you'll be cursed above all beasts on the earth. And listen, the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the seed of Satan." This beast, this person, this Antichrist that is coming after the rapture, who will rise to power, he will not be some guy who's just like out plowing one day and in nowhere. No, he'll come from the political sea, the humanities, the people, tongues, nations. Isaiah 57 says, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea." This world, this humanity that we live in, will never know peace, true peace, until Jesus is ruling and reigning on Mount Zion. We'll never know it. Why? Because men are sinful, inherently sinful. And out of this seething, unrest mass of humanity will come a man. Look what verse 1 and 2 says here in Revelation 13. And verse 2, "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." You know, it's interesting. It's the same description you find for Satan in Revelation 12 and verse 3. "And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads." It's interesting. You really do resemble your father. A lot. Have you ever noticed that? People can look at you and know, "Oh, that I know whose dad you. I know who your dad is." We hadn't visited our home church in many years, and Benny was just a little guy, about 3 or 4 years old, and he went into the Sunday school room, and they go, "That is a mixed kid." We all have the same haircut, same shaped head. Anyway, and it's true, like father, like son. And Jesus said, "Anybody who's seen me has seen my father." You know, the Antichrist is going to be able to say the same thing. If you've seen me, then you've seen Satan. You know, the thing is, Satan doesn't know the day or the hour in which Christ will return. But John tells us in 1 John 4 that the spirit of Antichrist is already out there, meaning that throughout the centuries, Satan has had to groom a steady stream of men that could at any moment when Jesus returned assume the position of Antichrist, of worldwide dictator. Think about it. He's had to constantly be, and this is, like I said, it's not going to be some guy in the middle of nowhere plowing. He's going to be somebody who's in political power now. Some of you work in some really cool places in Washington. Some of you get to see some really cool stuff. And some of you may have, at one time in your career, shook hands with one of such person who was being groomed. Because it's funny, I'm from the Midwest. I never saw Washington except in National Geographic. And you guys talk about, "Oh yeah, I was up at the White House. I did this and that. Oh, it's a big deal, yeah." You were where? the power center, the nerve center of the free world, you might have shaken hands on some of your details with men that have come to visit us that are in the pipeline. It's just not the time. You know, he's not going to hatch out of an egg. He isn't going to come down in a spacecraft. Oh, Jesus came. Okay, here he comes. Okay, now. Satan's got, he doesn't have him in cryo sleep, all right? Where he's going to pop him like a ready quick meal on a microwave. And okay, here's my Antichrist. No, people are being groomed all the time. He will be the son of Satan. He will be the one. Now, the book of Daniel tells us that these animals are symbolic of former worldwide empires. And the Antichrist will have beastly characteristics, but he will not be ugly. He will not be hideous. He will be somebody who's very well spoken. He'll be very intelligent. The world will follow after him because the Bible says here in verse 4 that they wonder after the beast. He'll be a rock star. He'll be somebody the world will be following. His Twitter feed will be burning up. Everybody will be following him. There's several really comical things about Twitter. Is there's a couple people out on Twitter who have thousands and thousands of followers, but they follow no one, and that's just kind of like their statement. You know what I'm saying? And that's what this guy will be like. He'll be somebody. You'll be getting his Twitter feed. He'll walk with this. Look at verse number 3 again, or excuse me, verse number 2. It says that he was like unto a leopard, and he had feet like a bear and a mouth like a lion. So he'll walk with the stateliness of a lion, yet his teeth shall shred and tear. He'll have the strength of a bear and the speed and spread of his kingdom like a leopard. And the world that rejected Jesus will embrace Satan's Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians 2:9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. He will be the visible expression. Remember, Jesus said, it says of Jesus that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. As you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father, is what he told Thomas in John 14. If you've seen this man, you will see Satan. You think, well, Satan's hideous. No, he's not. Satan is the most beautiful creature God ever created. He's the most powerful creature God ever created. He's the most majestic creature God ever created. He's the most creative and the most intelligent. He never sleeps. He never eats. He never takes a vacation. And the one thing that he has in common is with all the demonic realm is he hates you with a perfect hatred and no pity. And this Antichrist will be the embodiment of Satan. And I want you to see in verse number 3, He is a charlatan. Verse number 3, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. It's incredible. Satan comes to us as an angel of light, the Bible says, and that his ministers come to us as ministers of light. This man will be no different. Daniel 9:27 tells us that he'll be a peacemaker. Daniel 8 tells us that by peace he will destroy many. He'll be handsome. And the world will wonder. But he has a plan. He has a plan. Look at verse number 4. The first thing he's going to do is he's going to deify Satan. He's going to make the world worship Satan. Now, by the way, we have good news clubs. We have folks here in our church that run good news clubs in public schools. And the Satanists have now started their own good news clubs in schools. You think, oh no, come on, nobody's that stupid. Welcome to the America I woke up to this morning. Okay, I'm not supposed to use the word stupid, I'm sorry. Look at verse number 4. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. See, God is the great initiator. See, you wouldn't know anything about God if God didn't initiate contact. For God so loved the world that he gave. Do you understand? It was God who took the first steps in your life. You're like, oh, no, 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 no. I was looking for God. No. Jesus said, no man can come to the Father, or come to me, except the Father in heaven draw him. That desire for you to find God, for that desire for you to know more, that was the Father going, come here, come here. Pulling you to him. Wanting you to know him. He's a great initiator. But Satan's the great imitator. Because he creates all these counterfeits. Look at what it says here in verse number 4. It says, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. You know, Satan doesn't want casualties. He wants converts. In Isaiah 14 and verse 12, he's always wanted to be worshiped. In Matthew chapter number 4 and verse 9, when Jesus was being tempted, what did Satan say to him? Listen, all this stuff, all these kingdoms, I'll give them to you if you'll bow down and worship me. It's all he's ever wanted was to be worshiped. Besides deifying Satan, the Antichrist's agenda will be to defy the Savior. Look at verse 5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. He'll be a liar, a very, very clever liar. And he will lead people away and say, no, that Jesus you worshiped was not true. All that Bible that you had was not right. Number 3, he will not only deify Satan and defy the Savior, he'll destroy the saints. Look at verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. He's going to win. He's going to win. In Daniel 8, it says, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper in practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. Listen, what's going to happen is, in 2 Thessalonians 2, and if you're interested, my notes are up on the web, you can look at it yourself. The thing is, the rapture shuts the door to heaven to those who've heard. You've heard. You've heard the gospel. If you've been in America, I was driving yesterday and saw the gospel on a billboard. What's so cool is all these folks that come over here from foreign countries get to hear the gospel. They get to see it. It's on billboards. It's on the radio. It's in print. It's everywhere. It's so fabulous. They get to hear the gospel. There are millions of people in the 1040 window, the latitudes there that don't know him, never heard of him. Don't have a preacher, don't have a Bible in their language. It would be illegal to have. God has brought some fortunate few to our shores to hear the gospel. But do you understand, for those who've heard the gospel and rejected, the door shuts when the rapture hits. And those who've never heard will get the opportunity. But when they do, they will pay with their life. They will pay with their life. How is that possible? Jesus said in John 3, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. The tribulation saints will make the ultimate sacrifice. In Revelation 20, it tells us that they were beheaded for the testimony of Christ. That's what will happen to those who come to Christ during the tribulation. But to those who did not come to Christ before the rapture, they will be deluded. They will be deceived. Look at Revelation 13 and verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. See, he will pass himself off as the Messiah. He will imitate the resurrection by being assassinated and rise again. Verse 3, one of his heads will be, let's just read it. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 3, and I saw one of his heads as were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. He will present himself as the world's Messiah. Do you understand? The Jews are looking for that now. Jesus said, I have come in my own name, and you did not receive me. But one will come in his own name. Or I have come in my Father's name, excuse me, and you did not receive me. He said, but one is coming in his own name, and him you shall receive. The Jewish Messiah, HaMashiach, the Anointed One. The Islamic Messiah, the Mahdi. The Zoroastrian Messiah is Seoshant, I think is how you say it. The Buddhists have one too, the Maitreya is how they call it, the Maitreya. The Buddha, the awakened one. Krishna has one. Do you understand? He will stand up and say, I'm he. What religion were you born in? Well, such and such. What was the Superman or the Messiah of that religion? Well, that's me. And the whole world will say, he's come. He has come. The one that has been prophesied. It has been true. Here he is. He is our Messiah. And he'll prove it by the sign of being killed and come back to life. He'll prove it. But I want you to see the sycophant that supports him. Look at verse number 11. And I beheld another beast come out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceive them that dwell on the earth by the means of these miracles, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword, and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. This will be the false prophet. Revelation chapter 16, Revelation 19, Revelation 20 all speak of the false prophet. Now the first beast is political in nature. He will coalesce all the world politics into one, and he will be the world dictator. But this man will coalesce all the apostate religions together, and he will be the religious leader. And do you understand, as I said, God is the great initiator, but Satan is the great imitator. So God has a trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Satan has a trinity. It's the dragon, which is him, the beast, or the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And just as do you know how the Trinity works? I mean, does anybody in here know how it works? The Holy Spirit causes us to exalt Christ, to point us to Christ. He said he will lead you and guide you into all truth. He will remind you of all things I've taught you. And he points us to Jesus. And as Jesus is exalted, he brings glory to God the Father. The false prophet will lead the world to exalt the Antichrist and worship the Antichrist. And he will get the entire world to bring glory to the dragon, to Satan. That's how it works. He will use our language. He'll use our spiritual words, but his own dictionary. He will imitate God. And this sinister minister will be very convincing, because he'll be able to call down fire from heaven to anybody who opposes. Do you understand that? Look at he's got three things he uses. Here in verse 13, it's the fire. In verse 14 and 15, he creates an image to the beast and makes the image talk. Now, my great-grandpa would not have understood any of this. My great-grandpa lived and died before the TV was invented. But you and I, whoops, thank God it's an OtterBox. You and I see images that move and talk all the time, don't we? We see images everywhere that move and talk. We get a little thrill every time this little thing goes ding. And you ever wonder how you think, well, now there's just no way Satan, there's just no way he can make us all like, you know, make that happen. He can't be the worldwide dictator. Really? There are people in this room smirking right now at the amount of knowledge they know about that's available for you, about you, and in the wrong hands. What it could do to you. It runs across their computer screen every day. They're not allowed to look at it, but it's there. Oh, it'll be a worldwide concentration camp, and everybody will be inventoried with a number and a name. Do you realize how tied you are to commerce? Think about commerce. If you went to the coffee shop today, you're tied to commerce. If you had coffee at all, you had commerce. Oh, no. If they get saved during the tribulation, they'll just get off the grid. Do you know how much money it takes to get off the grid? You got to buy seed. You got to buy things to plant with. You got to buy a cow. If you like milk, you got to have a cow. You got to feed the cow. You know, it takes money. That's how tied we are to commerce. And the Antichrist will rule the world with an image that speaks. I don't know if it's a phone. Who knows what it'll be? I never dreamed we'd have a phone like that. I predate the internet. But what will your children see? Those little babies in the nursery, what will they see? They're playing with game systems now that they can insert under your scalp now. They're playing with those things. Won't that be cool? Huh? We paid $10 for VR goggles now. We can just play with them. It was never heard of before. Well, now they got stuff they're trying to implant. The thing is, there is a man coming. There's an Antichrist who will rise, and he will rule the world, and he will exalt Satan. And then his sycophant, his sinister minister, the false prophet, will lead all of the world to worship the beast. And he'll be a rock star. And the entire world will wonder at him. Now look at verse number 18 of chapter 13. Herein is written, or herein is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now the number 6 is the number of a man. Number 3 is the number of Trinity, or God. So 666 is God, or excuse me, man trying to make himself God. Now out of this seething, boiling sea of humanity will come this man, and the Jews will say at last, our Messiah. The Muslims will say, the Mahdi, the Mahdi. But he'll be a charlatan. You know, our hope is not in the one that is coming. Our hope is in the one that's already come and will come again. Our hope is in Jesus. We're to be looking for his return, not the Antichrist. We're not to be looking for the great tribulation. We're to be looking for Christ. So let me ask you a question today, my friends. Are you redeemed? Have you been born again? Are you saved? The rapture shuts the door on heaven. So does physical life. If you were to die today, the door shuts. The decision you have to make is the decision you have to make here. The decision you have to make before you die, before Christ returns. Are you redeemed? Well, I didn't ask if you were spiritual. I didn't ask if you were a spiritual person. I didn't ask if you were baptized as a baby. I didn't ask if you got your first Holy Communion. I didn't ask if you've been a good person and haven't killed nobody and give to the poor. I didn't ask those things. Have you been born again? Well, I think so. When did it happen? When did it happen? When were you saved? How were you saved? You were there. I wasn't. Can you remember? Well, my mama always said, mama's not going to be there on Judgment Day. God has no grandchildren. God only has children. When were you born again? Are you redeemed? Christians? Oh, I'm redeemed. I know it. I know I'm saved. Are you ready? You're redeemed, but are you ready? Are you watching for his return? He will come as a thief in the night. Are you ready? Are you reading your Bible like you're supposed to? You know, the only thing you get to take to heaven is the person you become. That's it. Your car won't go to heaven. Your portfolios won't go to heaven. Your stuff won't go to heaven. And you think to yourself, well, I'll have my kids if they get saved. If they get saved. Think about it. Are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? Well, of course you are. You drive on 95. Of course you pray. Are you going to church faithfully? Are you a member of a church? Are you plugged in? Are you tithing? God don't have your heart unless he's got your pocketbook. Boy, it got quiet in here. You want to kill a deer? Shoot it in the heart. You want to kill a dog? Shoot it in the head. You want to kill a Baptist? Hit him in the wallet. Does God got your wallet? You read, you pray, you tithe, do you witness? Are you redeemed? Are you ready? Are you reaching others? Who is it that the door of heaven is going to shut on that you know? They need somebody to give them the gospel one more time. They need somebody to go to battle in prayer one more time. One of these days, the last name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and the door will shut, and Jesus will come, and he will descend, and that'll be over. Are you redeemed? Are you ready? Are you reaching? Are you clean? Christians? Are you clean? I mean clean. Not cleaner. I'm not saying go back and look at the past 3 years of your life and go, well, I'm doing better. Christians, if you're born again, you have the ability to be clean. See, when my parents would pull up in the driveway, I'd stop and think, okay, was there anything I was supposed to be? Anything I got? Because when they come in, I want everything to be right when they show up. When they come through the door, did I break anything I need to hide? Is there anything I've made a mess and I got to sweep up? Are you ready? I mean, are you right with God? Today, are you clean? course we get cleaner. Of course we weed things out of our life, but are you clean? Are you right with God? The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is there people out there that you've been withholding forgiveness from? You're not right with God until you do. Are you right with your spouse? Because you're not right with God if you're not right with your spouse. Are you right with your neighbor? You've offended somebody and you just don't care. Well, you don't know what they did to me. You're the Christian, supposedly. Are you right? Are you right with your parents? Are you right with your mom and dad? If Jesus came through the door today, are you right? Well, you don't know what they've done, or they don't understand me. We've all been there. I didn't hatch out of an egg at 30. I know what it's like to be a teenager. But are you right? You see, there's a beast coming, and it's unavoidable. Who is it that's going to miss the rise of the Antichrist because you won them to Christ? Who is it who will be martyred in the tribulation because they didn't hear about it until after? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you died today, are you sure heaven's your home? Having sat in this service, every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Listen, if you're listened at all in this service, you are no longer without excuse. You're no longer with you're without excuse. You no longer have the ability to say, "I never heard." You no longer have the ability to stand before God and say, "I didn't know. Nobody told me." Whether you're here or listening on the internet today, you can trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You see, it's not about our works, because our works don't get us to heaven. It's about the work Jesus did on the cross as our substitute to pay the price for my sin and your sin. Have you called upon Jesus Christ and asked Him to be your Savior, to forgive you, turning from your sin to Him? That's repentance. Trusting Him as your Savior. You have, there's a home in heaven waiting for you. Brothers and sisters, there's others who need that same opportunity you've been given. Won't you have the courage to step out of your pew and come forward? Those that need to be saved, come. Let me lead you to Christ. Those who are saved but need to get right, need to get ready, need to get reaching, the altar is open for your opportunity to do business with God. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we love You. Give people the courage and the strength to answer Your call. Father, it is not our desire to let any go through the tribulation, but to come to repentance, to come to know You as their Savior. Speak to every heart and every soul. Now, maybe some have come today with other burdens like health and finances, relationships, needs for discernment and decision-making. God, give them the courage to come and to pray. And to find the answers You have for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Every head bowed. Ms. Mix, please.
Lord, I come. I confess.
Are you right? Are you right? Are you clean? You can be. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
I fall apart.
You know, it'd just be easier if God had changed His mind on sin. It'd just be easier for all of us if He'd just change His mind. But He's not going to.
Lord, I
need You. He's not going to.
Oh, I need
You. So it's up to us as the created being to look to the Creator and bow in obedience to His authority and do right. Won't you come?
My righteousness, oh God, how I need You. Where sin runs deep, Your grace is more. Where grace is found is where You are. and where you are. Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Yes, where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
I have Miss Sarah just play through it one more time. His altar is still open.
Lord, I need
very powerful message this morning.
Oh, I need.
How is your relationship with Christ?
Every hour I need.
You know, every now and then I have to check my relationship.
My one.
Sometimes even with my own family.
My righteousness,
whom I love.
Oh God, how
it's
I
not always the best it could be. Something I always need to work on.
My one defense, my righteousness, oh God.